Yes. What he was asking was that if I had seen in any of my customers where they were making a private LAN or something like that. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, physically redundant, private, completely separate network. Yes, I have seen that. There are a couple of customers of mine who already had that existing infrastructure for their intrusion detection systems. So they would already use that. Does that answer your question? Okay. So the data transport, we've got some good standards out there, but there's really not a good standard for all log data. We've got IDMEF for, you know, some of the intrusion detection data. But what about firewalls or routers or anything like that? There's no real standard log format. And this is a big challenge when you go to do data normalization. You've got to write, you know, parsing rules for each type of log format. And syslog, there's, you know, thousands of different formats out there. And SNMP is a little bit easier because you've got, you know, the variables to separate it out and things like that. Checkpoint, you've got to use OPSEC. So you've got to interface with their API, which is nice, but it still requires work. Cisco IDS, you can use their Cisco POP protocol or SNMP. Now, SNMP is also a UDP protocol, so is syslog. Well, there is SNMP v3 out there. Snort supports it. So we are encouraging people to at least move to that if they're using regular SNMP 2C or any of those protocols, or syslog even. So the data normalization, it gets everything together. You've got a common format across the entire log format. So you've got, basically there's a couple fields. You've got your date and time. You've got your source destination. You've got your source IP and your destination IP. Source ports, destination ports. Now some of those fields would not be filled up again. All right, we're going to turn the checkpoint. Yeah, no problem. So like I was saying before, we put everything together in a single normalized format, and then we do aggregation. So we're starting to push that data up to a higher level system to take care of the information that the normalization handled. Yeah. Okay. Fair question. What he asked was, how do you deal with the time delays and synchronization issues with aggregation? There's a number of ways to do it. My company takes two timestamps, when we receive the event from the intrusion detection system and when the intrusion detection system reported the event. So we use our own internal time synchronization within our product to do the actual correlation. And that's maintained through a couple different channels. So, go ahead. I would, but let's do that offline. Okay. Also, during the aggregation part is important, I think, to maintain the integrity of the logs using some kind of hashing protocol, hashing algorithm. So that's also important. Correct. In real time? Well, most of the customers that I've seen is they're using, we have in our product, it's a store and forward system. So it can do some correlation at the aggregator level, but there's a couple ways to tackle that problem. You can do filtering, at that level, and you can pass up relevant information if you do a correlation there. So that's kind of like what CyberWolf does. Also, during the normalization process, I think it's important that to mention that there are variable length fields for a lot of the data. If you're going to be passing up raw event data, and this is not generally recommended, but you can do snort data, like the actual payload of the packet and that kind of thing. So you've got to have variable data, variable length fields in a normalization schema. So a lot of people have been talking about data reduction, and that might help some of you guys, some of your questions is, how do you handle sending all these events upstream? Well, there is a significant hardware requirement. I think the guys from Security Focus mentioned that also, is that there is some hardware, network bandwidth, that you're going to have to sacrifice in order to get things together. But you can reduce the amount of data that you're sending up. You can delete duplication. So deduplication, if you take that. You can also compress the data using various algorithms to actually compress and encrypt the data. So you can definitely reduce the amount of data transferred over the wire. And that's what we do. So if you do filtering, you're going to lose some data. You can actually, some correlation engines or correlation systems allow you to, drop the events into the local segment or drop the events into the local system that's doing the aggregation, and then go back and look at those. So it doesn't pass all the information to the correlation engine, but only a selected bit. Okay. Also, you can do things like substitution. Say, for instance, there's data with the same IP addresses, same source IP addresses. You can replace those in a dictionary and pass that as well up to the system. That's a form of data reduction. Example of filtering would be to turn off all the accepts, but log them locally for the firewall, so you don't get everything logging into the correlation engine. Okay, and the correlation engine itself. Let's talk about that a little bit. The vendors out there are touting correlation as the end-all, be-all. And to be honest, I'm not sure. I mean, I've worked in SOX, and I know we developed a product, and I've looked at all of our competitors' products. And I'm not sure that correlation is what we all need. And that's not a good thing to say, really, but we do need help doing it. I mean, we're going to need... It's an evolving process, just like IDS when it started. It wasn't the grand thing that we all hoped. Well, it is now, but it's not the thing that we all hoped it was back then. So I imagine 3 or 4 years from now, correlation or threat analysis will be the end-all, be-all. So I think we're getting closer. Correlation engines vary significantly. Let me go into... definition of correlation by the dictionary. There's really two definitions that we were looking at when we started to build our product. One was the literal, the dictionary, a complementary, parallel, reciprocal relationship, usually complementary, but sometimes not. We looked at that, and then we looked at actual statistics. How to do correlation using covariance and other things within a statistical correlation engine. So what we came to the conclusion, and the vendors out there, I think you'll notice that not many of them are doing statistical correlation. They're doing some kind of rules, which they're then calling correlation, or they're putting together reports, and then when you do that, you do the manual correlation with yourself, you got correlation. So there's a big difference between what the vendors and everybody's saying correlation is and what it actually is. And there's a lot of, I have a real problem with what people call correlation. So if you think of it in a general sense, it does match, but if you think of it in a statistical sense, it doesn't. So we'll go on. This is what statistical correlation does look like. Catch up here. This is an example of a scatter diagram. And what you've got there is, this is a way to perceive, this is a mathematical way to perceive the variation between the dots you see there, which is, you know, R is actually the square root of the ratio of variances between those things. And that's called the correlation coefficient, the R there. And the closer you get to 1, the closer those dots would be together on that line. So if that line was the regression line, that's what the line's called. If that line was, you know, at a 45 degree angle, and all the dots were on there, on the same line, that'd be a perfect correlation. And the R would be at 1. And conversely, if there was no correlation or none perceived, there would be a negative 1 on the end there. So what? Yeah, 0, I'm sorry. You're right. Yep. You can also do things like test significance within the correlation itself, but I'm not really going to go into that. So we look at what the correlations out there. That, you know, the vendors are saying we're doing rule-based correlation, and or they're saying they're doing correlation, but they're really doing a expert system with rules on it, and then calling that correlation. But they are doing the aggregation piece of the correlation system, so they're getting there. But yeah, exactly. So the vendor marketing has, you know, spun off these correlations. And I went and defined what the correlations, what they are. The two types that I see in the market. These are the primary ones. Micro-level correlation. And what I mean by that is correlations that reside strictly in the event streams that are coming into the network. So you've got you know, your IDS events, your firewall events, everything else, and you're doing correlations between that. Those are micro correlations. Conversely, the macro correlations generally happen at a higher level. So you've got your event stream coming in, and you've got Nessus data sitting on your server. When you compare the event names with the vulnerabilities or vice versa, and whether or not that host has that vulnerability, I consider that a macro correlation, something well out of the event stream that it's compared with. Now, it might be compared with information in the event stream, but it is compared outside the event stream. The correlation is done in between the event stream and the vulnerability information, for example. Everybody understand that? Sometimes micro is referred to as atomic, and macro level is sometimes referred to as fusion. ISS calls it fusion, and I wanted to come up with a more generic name, so I gave it macro. So here we go. So we're going to talk about other things, security correlation methods. All right? So we've got these vendors out there saying they're doing correlation, and for example, one of them is giving you a set of reports, okay? And one of the reports states that you saw X amount of firewall events and your IDS events. Well, that's called a manual correlation, because you yourself, the IDS experts, are looking at that information and going, this is a correlation. There's something happened here that led to firewall drops, and that's a manual correlation. Or, you know, the sensor, a couple of sensors out there, detected a attack across multiple net blocks. So you've got a correlation there via the sensor, something like that. And autocorrelation, some of the products out there will do autocorrelation where they try to match things together for you. So it takes the workload off the human to do more research on what's really going on in the network. What that does, for example, autocorrelation is performed by using the rules, also the statistical analysis. So you've got two types of methods that are used in today's practice to do correlation. Here are some examples of micro correlation. For example, field correlation, where I mentioned before, the normalized data has a whole bunch of fields. And a lot of them, a lot of the vendors out there are saying correlation is really a search for, you know, all destination port 1433 or TCP or anything like that. So what we've got is very simplistic correlations on the micro level. And as well as rule or pattern correlation, you've got several products out there that specify, for example, say for instance it sees, your IDS sees a NMDA attack, and then if it sees any other rejected packets from a particular source IP, group those together. And that's called a rule correlation. So you've got these rules predefined in some instances where you're linking together these source IPs or destination IPs even. So pattern matches as well. You can do, say for instance, if you see TCP half scan and then some other type of, you know, full-blown TCP scan. You can link those together using scan or any other pattern matching. It's a poor example, but that works. So a lot of these products do have predefined rules on correlation. One of the big issues I have with that, and it's a great thing to do because you can group everything together, but what happens if a hacker or an intruder learns about the rules? Typically, like for instance, NMDA has a certain set of this attack, this attack, this attack. Well, if I switch the order of those attacks, or if I inserted a couple other ones, those attacks may not be seen by the rule, and thusly could pass through the correlation system. So rules have their advantages and disadvantages. Go ahead. Right. Correct. They would still be attacks, but if they were dropped, it depends, right? So. That's right. Correct. I mean, eventually the attackers will know the rules, right? And that's inevitable. Like everybody knows, you know, the signatures now. So there's going to be a certain learning curve there, but eventually they will know the rules, and the rules will have to be modified. Go ahead. I agree. Mm-hmm. And that's thusly a need for a higher level or anomaly detection, basically IDS, or a meta IDS, at that level, especially anomaly detection. And what at Guarded, what we did is we actually created a threat model to do that. So it's a little different than all the other correlation systems. We do have rules, but we don't think rules are the end-all be-all. So we created a threat model to handle some of the outside of the bounds thing. Okay, macro correlation. There are a couple vendors out there that are doing vulnerability correlation where they're correlating particular IDS events, and then they have a previous scan data from ISS or Nessus, or and they're either using kind of some kind of table for lookup like CVE or CVE as a basis, and then they're going around and comparing those in either, you know, after the fact or in real time. So it's extremely important if you're going to be doing vulnerability correlation to have a good baseline of your network with vulnerability information and have tuned, fairly good tuned intrusion detection systems and vulnerability scanners, because if they're both false positives, that's not good. So that's basically vulnerability correlation. There's a couple companies doing it, and I think that's going to help reduce our false positives significantly in the future. It's going to take some maturity. There's the mappings are an issue. So the better CVE is, pretty much the better the vulnerability correlation systems will be. And one of the things that is kind of unique, you've got profile correlation. And what I mean by that is you've got finger information, banners, things of that nature related to a particular attacking host. So you've got the users logged into X host, X server. And say, for instance, if that was a known intruder, this is a known attacker, and then we see the same type of information, same user logged into another system, and that is profile correlation. So we're actually building profiles of hosts and then correlating those with other hosts, and thusly changing the threat calculation for that. Watch list correlation, a lot of them are doing this, where you input, for instance, these known attackers, and when they come back into your network, they're either highlighted or the model changes so that they're prioritized, or there's lots of things you can do with a watch list. You can generate rules off of it as well. So, but these watch lists make the real-time aspects much more usable. So you can see, say for instance, you can see all the Afghanistan packets coming into your network or something like that. Okay, who needs correlation? That's a good question. There are numerous, there's actually some slides that aren't in the book, so bear with me there. Managed security providers. And if you'll look at most of the big guys that have managed security services, for example, Guardant, their claim is, you know, powerful event correlation. Guardant's unique correlation engine allows mapping of disparate events. RibTech has their own product, Calterium, as well as Counterpain, Socrates, and all the other vendors too, or at least they're claiming they do. And the reason why they need this is partially because the market's demanding it, but also because they have to have something to advantage those event loads. And that's why they need a correlation system. Corporate enterprises, definitely. If you've got, you know, two or more IDSs and firewalls, then you probably need something to put together all the data so you can actually view the data in an easy fashion, instead of going to console and trying to get the information together manually. You'll spend 20 minutes doing that when it takes you 3 minutes to do a search. correlation system. Federal, state, and local governments. One of the things I'm going to talk about is what to do with correlation information, correlated data. These agencies need to be interacting with each other. And if you've got all these intrusion detection systems and everything else, one of the best ways to integrate them all is to have a correlation system who produces prioritized threats and then pass that on to other agencies. And I think that we'll be seeing more and more of that arise. Critical infrastructure, we have some clients that have really been on the bandwagon. They have purchased the software, even some early adopters. So critical infrastructure is definitely important. I think someone said that if you know, the railroads were stopped for a week, that the United States would starve or something like that. So it's fairly important. So it, and all that information is probably controlled by computers, especially on the network. So power companies, we definitely don't want our power grids going down or our waters stopped. So we've got a lot of things to protect. And they need the correlation so they can tell where their intruders are coming from and rectify the situation immediately. ISACs. We've got these financial institution ISACs. We've got, IT. There's a whole bunch of them. What we can do with the correlation engine is basically bring the relevant information in that sector to the ISAC. So you've got maybe, say for instance, each company has a correlation system and they're passing information back and forth. And that industry sector is getting hit worse by NIMDA or some guy in Iraq. Then that information is easily dispersed to those communities. So I think it's very important that the ISACs integrate with some of the correlation systems out there. I'm going to do an example of how a correlation system would reduce false positives. In this instance, if you can read my writing there. Say, for instance, actually, I got a diagram. I'll put that up. Okay. So we've got, we've got an attack coming from the outside world. And we've got our router, our external router that's got some, maybe has a IDS feature set on it or something like that. And picks up an IS Unicode attack. All right. That information is sent to the events. The firewall sees the actual transaction going through with accepts or accept packets. So you have that confirmation. The internal router has some ACLs maybe to do logging, so it's sending that information. The DMZ IDS definitely reports the attack and sees the IS Unicode attack. The LAN is not going to do much except the path of traffic, but the internal IDS may see this, and this could be host base or whatever. Maybe it would see it. The server logs, the IIS logs would actually see the information, see that GET request come into the server. And the application, the application would see it first, but the server may have some rules on it to see it, or maybe it was a different kind of attack and saw, something going on, file modifications or something. So the applications would see that, so IIS would see it. Well, what happens is those events go in to the event collector or aggregator, and the vulnerabilities that were previously scanned against indicate that that IIS server was not vulnerable. And thusly, the reaction would be negative. Since the server is not vulnerable, then that event is not important. So there's a lot of things that you can do with that as well. You can do other kinds of correlation. Like you could see, maybe there's a port open on that server. So you see a DNS, some kind of DNS scan using UDP, and it's primarily for UDP, but if the port's not open, then it doesn't really matter if the packet goes to it, does it? So that's how it reduces false positives in the short. I'm just going to go over a little bit. I've kind of dug into this just a little bit. A lot of the vendors are glorified syslog viewers. All they do is put the information into a database, or not even that, sometimes flat files, and then present that either in a console some type or maybe even a web interface. But some of them would like you to believe that they're doing statistical correlation, or they want you to believe that when they're in fact they're doing simpler correlation with the rules, which in my opinion is where we need to be going, because I don't think statistical correlation would do much for us eventually. So we'll see. We tested some of the statistical correlation stuff, and it was wildly erratic. And sometimes they bring in the big words to impress the boss. But so anyway, you just need to be aware that there, if you're going to do a correlation system, and I really shouldn't be saying this either, I would suggest highly that you do a pilot so that you know what you're getting. And as well, check out the reviews out there. I think Greg Shipley did one, Network Computing article, and he reviewed the products pretty well. So. Yeah, and some of them have, they're not very scalable. And that's what I mean by candles there, is that you're going to say where some of them aren't using good technologies or unscalable technologies. And in that, you need to be careful. So. Okay. Getting close to wrapping up. Let me show you some pictures here. Here's some of the players out there. These are some of the commercial players. eSecurity, X-Windows, I think they have a web interface now. And CyberWolf, which was just purchased by Symantec. And they have a kind of a different technology than most of them, so we'll see how it works. My product, NewSecure. The original name came from, we wanted to do a neural network and do some baseline learning, but we decided to do an expert, basically, first. So in order to do that, we had to have mathematical models so we could feed into it, so that's where we're at now. So, IntelliTactics are out of Canada. It's got a really nice Java interface and some cool analytics. Site Protector, not going to say anything. Net Forensics, they're actually pretty good. I think those guys were invested by Cisco, so got a lot of stuff. Nerve Center, which is more of a network management system, but it's come into, I think it came from Veritas, yeah. And Envision, they used to be, what was it called? Can't remember, but they just came out with an enterprise class system, so I'd definitely take a look at them. But they're relatively new. Go ahead. Yeah, Motorola had a product. I mean, there's more vendors than this, guys. I mean, I just couldn't put them on the screen, but. There's a vendor, Motorola had Intrusion Vision, which did some neat visualization of correlated data. And and they sold it to General Dynamics. So. Some of the freeware tools that you can do manual correlation with, ACID with LogSnorter and everything. Snort Reports, DMARC, I'm not sure if that's free anymore, but we'll see. Here's just a picture of DMARC, if you can see that. You can correlate multiple sensors together. And here's just some acid pictures here. What to do with threat with correlated data? Okay, so we have this correlated information. Say, for instance, this one source address has been doing all kinds of weird activity, or this one subnet has a lot of weird activity from it. Well, that information is useful to threat analysis, which is the process of basically prioritizing threats. And we do that through a couple of different ways. We do it through threat modeling, but it also allows you to do further reduction of false positives. Forensic analysis, you've got to prosecute this guy because he broke in. You've got to have the information to do that. You've got to have it time-stamped and verified and authenticated, so you take it to a court of law that you can prove that the information is accurate. Situational awareness, this is kind of different, but it allows you to see maybe where the attacks are coming from in real time, so you can take a look at, easily understand where attacks are coming from. Here's just an example of the process that we use, but there should be variants to it, but basically we centralize, analyze, and prioritize the events and correlate the events there. We have an integrated, basically a case management system within NewSecure, but what it does is we take that knowledge and recycle it, and we use constant gathering of information, system vulnerabilities, geographic information, all that comes into our system, and then we learn, keep learning from that information. So this is what I was talking about earlier, is threat analysis. It's just another different view. We've got the vulnerability correlation and a correlated event data, meaning macro correlation. Previous intelligence. Here's an example of manual correlation. The red line there is actually a checkpoint firewall, and the blue line is Dragon Lady, so it's Dragon IDS. And I think the green and yellow are ISS server sensors. So you've got this information, you've got, these are actually drop packets for the checkpoint there. So we show an increase of activity. This is actually me scanning my network with Nessus. So we've got a lot of denied ping packets or ICMP packets coming into the network at first, and then denied TCP packets. So you start to see an increase there. Well, then Dragon picks it up, and actually the correlation system saw that there was an increase in activity there. Issued a SAM block on the checkpoint firewall, which thusly increased the attacks there, or the drop packet. So it's kind of a manual correlation, but you can definitely see what's going on there. Here's a forensic analysis. So you've got all the log data in there. This is actually from Dragon as well, but these are SNMP traps sent from Dragon. So you've got the information you need to pretty much prosecute the guy. So take that out, ship it to an email, or open a ticket, pass it around, do some further analysis, add some events to it, maybe from previous attacks, and ship it off to the ISP. Hopefully getting the guy terminated or whatever. Situational awareness. And in our product, this is one of our views, but this is a situational awareness tool where you've got these, the blue dots represent attacks that are incoming to Atlanta, you can see there. So instantly you can see where the highest threats are coming from. You might see them, either they're coming from China or Malaysia, Thailand, something like that. So you would see that information in a global map, and you would be able to drill down from that. So a lot of the products out there interface with other products like Silent Runner. If you could interface the geo data with that, then you could probably do the same thing, but in 3D. So, there's a lot of good applications with the geo data. So. Any questions? A little early here. Benefits to the organization, just to kind of go through it a little bit. You can get a real-time view of the event streams from all the systems. So even if you have to log, like your SLAs, if you're a managed security provider, even if you have to watch the actual log files, most of the systems out there will let you do that for correlation systems because it's more aggregation still. Centralized repository, which is a good thing, but it's also a bad thing if you've got millions and millions of records because you got to have sufficient hardware to handle it. And there's other things that come with centralized. The other thing is threat ranking. So it makes more efficient of the analyst's time to use the threat rankings. You've got this guy that's running Nessus on you, or some guy running Whisker on you, then the system would prioritize those based on perceived threat. And what it does is allows you to reduce the threat while maintaining stability. So, absolutely. Yep. It's a financial system, or if it's some guy's workstation versus someone's financial server, something like that. So. Like I said before, is that increases the efficiency of the security operation and can reduce costs by limiting, if you've got contractors and you have limited amount of time to sit there and have them watching the screen. So. Can increase their efficiency as well. And eventually, hopefully, the correlation systems will progress into feeding into something like security focus, where you have a global perspective. Either it's going to be feeding into the ISACs or someone like security focus or something like that. So I think that it's going to progress more toward that direction. Since you've got the real-time components at the aggregation and at the enterprise security level, then you can feed in real-time threat information to those other organizations. And vice versa, you could download it as well. So you would get instant updates on who's attacking and where they're attacking from. I'm going to open up for questions now, and thanks, guys. But any questions? You want to do yours? Come on. All right.